Take your Bibles once again, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 25 through 34, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. My bookmark in the wrong place. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, Father, we ask you to do your work according to your will, all for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Everybody struggles with, to some extent, with worry. The reason I know that is because the Bible talks about it a lot. If it wasn't an issue, it wouldn't need to be addressed, would it? And so it is, and so we deal with it. Now, no doubt some struggle with worrying more than others. We all have our certain triggers that causes anxiety levels and stress levels to be raised in our lives. Maybe it has to do with money. It seems like a lot has to do with money, doesn't it? Maybe there are more bills than what you have money for. You're running a little short. I keep getting notices about my retirement. I keep ignoring the desire to look and to see how much money so far this year I have lost. Because the last time I looked, I wanted to hurt somebody. Maybe an unforeseen bill comes in the mail and that causes some stress in your life. Rising costs, as we are faced with today. Maybe some relationships that have been strained, or maybe somebody has wronged you, or you have wronged somebody else who are a little slow in forgiving or reconciling that relationship. Maybe it's your health condition, or you are having to run a test and you're waiting on a diagnosis, because it's always a week or 2 weeks later that you got to wait. And those 7 days seem like 7 years. Maybe the future of the country and what is going to happen with my children or grandchildren. What will this world be like for them? We all have our struggles. We all have our issues. We all have those things that are our triggers. And worry affects us in so many different ways. It can affect us physically. Absolutely. Not being able to get adequate sleep because you are worrying and you are stressed out and you are anxious about things. It'll affect your eating, either over or under eating. It will affect your ability to just get your common everyday responsibilities and chores and work done. And then it will also cause you to adopt some destructive behaviors to your body. As I already mentioned, the issue of overeating, which I know I can relate to that, or abusing some drugs or alcohol use. One of the pastors I have followed over several years just recently had to step aside from the pastorate and the pulpit, and he's under church discipline because he developed an addiction to Xanax. It happens to us all. It can affect you physically and being able to swallow properly. It raises your heart rate. You become irritable, muscles aches, nausea, and you're breathing. Some of you thought it was just because you were getting old, didn't you? Worrying can also affect us mentally. It can affect your memory. It could cause you to lack in rational thinking. Being negative all the time, never able to see the glass half full, cause you to be easily or constantly discouraged, which can lead to some form of depression, difficulty in making decisions because you worry which decision you make, what will be the outcome, and to the point you become paralyzed that you won't even make the decision necessary. But I want to talk about what Jesus talks about here, which is what I believe is the root of all of this, is that worrying can affect us spiritually. Worry really is a spiritual issue. The world doesn't understand this. They think if I just get more money, if I get the right friends, if I get the right people in charge, if I'm in charge, then all these problems will go away. They don't understand that this is truly a spiritual issue. And so lost people who do not understand this, they go looking for solutions that provide little to no help. And even if they are helped, it is temporary. And they find themselves back in the same situation or even worse. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we should be worrying less and less. This should become less and less of an issue in our lives. Because our worry comes from the fact that we are being influenced by the world and its ways and its desires. Now, we've been studying, as we started this time together in the Gospel of Matthew, what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has been describing what his followers are to be and what they're to do. And he's going on and on. And from the beginning of this, I like to come back and remind you of some things. And one of those things I want to remind you now of is the fact that, of course, Jesus was intentional in his teaching. But we see he was very intentional in the order in which he taught his disciples this, what is called the Sermon on the Mount, the way he preached this particular message is in a particular order. Last time we were together, we looked at having a biblical worldview and valuing things properly. And so as he's teaching his disciples, what do you think? Well, if all I think about is God and the things of God, how I'm going to eat, how I'm going to have a roof over my head, how I'm going to have clothes, if all I'm thinking about is God's stuff, don't you know, Jesus, we got to live in this world? So it's not by accident that Jesus immediately after talking about that says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. It's not a coincidence. It's not on accident. And so his teaching continues on with the thought that we're looking at in today's passage. We worry because we are lacking in our biblical perspective, seeing things as God has revealed them to truly be. Not as we want them to be, not as we desire them to be, or not as we think or someone else thinks them to be, but as God sees them to truly be. So this morning, I want us to look at this passage that I read and see three ways that we properly deal with our anxieties. How do we deal with our worry? How do we minimize it? How do we eradicate it? How do we do away with it? I don't know if we will ever, on this side of eternity, fully do away with it, but through Jesus Christ, it can be done, no doubt. But how do we go down that path of where we actually no longer worry? Well, number one is this, and these will be very common to most of us. These are not some shockers here. But it's something we must be continually reminded of. Number one, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. This is really the foundational issue. All of our worry, all of our anxieties, all of our discouragement is rooted in our lack of faith and trust in God. When we're complaining about this, when we're complaining about that, when we're worrying about this happening, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? How this is going to turn out? How this is going to end up? Is because we do not trust God fully. We may believe that God can do something, but then we doubt He ever will. But there's more to that. I'm going to get into the second point, which has to do with the will of God over our own will. But many of the Psalms, and we've already looked at some this morning, they speak to this issue of trusting in the Lord. Over and over again, the psalmist declared, David declared through song, over and over again, the idea of trusting God, always trusting Him, always maintaining your faith in Him, never doubting Him, never looking somewhere else, always seeking your help from the Lord, always seeking refuge in God, always seeing God as your rock in whom you can stand firm, and not the ways of this world. In Psalm 20, verse 7, we read, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Now, let me ask you, is this saying we cannot defend ourselves or have weapons for protection? No, it's not that at all. The issue is trust. Do I trust in these weapons or do I trust in the Lord? Where does your trust truly lie? Where do you place your faith? Because I tell you, if your faith is anywhere other than the Lord, you have reason to worry. You have reason to be discouraged. You have reason to be depressed. But when you trust in the Lord, man, things are in the right perspective. Some, we can say it this way, as I mentioned the upcoming election, some trust in political parties, but the people of God trust in the Lord. Does that mean we do not get involved with politics? Absolutely not. That's not what that means. Does it mean that we should abstain from voting? No, but if you're convicted, that's between you and the Lord. No, that's not what it means. But all of our worry, all of our stress, all of anxiety is an issue of trust. Where are we placing our trust? If the person I think would best serve this nation doesn't get elected, is all lost? We know it here, don't we? And many of you shaking your head. But in our conversations, I find out that in our hearts, we don't really believe that. I hear it through the way I speak and the way you speak. We worry. We have anxieties. We are consumed by this stuff. And Jesus says, hey, don't worry. Don't have anxieties about your life. Don't be anxious about your life. Psalm 125 verse 1 says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." And this psalm goes on to talk about how Israel had many enemies and they had reason to fear and be worried. But this psalm speaks to God's protection of His people. There's no reason to fear. There's no reason to be scared unless you make yourself an enemy of God. But if you're God's people, knowing truly that God is your Father and you have been adopted into the family and you are His child, there's nothing in this world that should cause us anxieties. They just needed to trust God. The Israelites just needed to trust God and take Him at His word. But if you've been coming on Wednesday nights, you have heard over and over again how they did not. They would not listen. They would not heed His words. Church, you and I, we will face difficulties in this life. There will be months where you'll have, how does the saying go? You will have more month at the end of your money. Yeah, your money runs out before the month does. You will face shortages of money. You will face unforeseen bills. You will face a shaky economy that goes crazy. You will face lawlessness in the streets. You will face a doctor who will say, "Sir, ma'am, it doesn't look good." How do we stand firm and not be overcome with anxiousness? How do we stand firm and not be overcome with worry? Trust in the Lord. It's such a Sunday school answer. It's so cliche. It's such a cliche. But it is foundational. And it is truth. Where do we place our trust? Many of you have memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'm only going to speak to verse 5 for the time being, where we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," and what? "Do not lean on your own understanding." Again, why do we worry? Because we lean on our own understanding. We're not acknowledging God in all things. in everything. Do not trust in the Lord with all your... trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. We worry because we think a certain way and we believe that there are only certain possible outcomes to the situation. How many times, I don't know about in your life, but in my life, I'm worried about something and I'm thinking only this could be the result or this could be the result, and all of a sudden God does His thing. And neither one of those are the results that God produces in your life. And I go, I don't understand, God, why I let this bother me the way it did when you had it the whole time. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We commanded in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Leave it with God. Our text this morning in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses them and He uses some examples I'm going to come back to with the birds and the lilies in the field and what might cause worry in their life. But then He says this in verse 30. As He talks about how God will take care of His people, then He makes this statement, O you of little faith. Worry, anxieties, they are brought on in unhealthy ways because of our lack of trust, our lack of faith in the Lord. Jesus saw this in His own disciples. Jesus taught them how things would be, and they were quick to say what? Especially Peter. No, Lord, that's not how it's going to be. You're not going to... They may all leave you, but I'm not leaving you. No, Lord, may it never be. You're not going to die. I will strike them down with the sword. And Jesus had to tell them to get behind Him, Satan. In Mark chapter 9, we read of an event where Jesus goes up on a mountainside and He brings Peter, James, and John with Him. And it's called the Mount of Transfiguration. The glory of Jesus is allowed to shine forth. That which had been hidden or kept back, they are able to see. And there's all kinds of things that transpire there. But when they come down from the mountain, they find the disciples arguing with a crowd and the scribes. And so Jesus asks them, what's going on here? And so a man in the crowd hollers out. He says, my son has had this demon that has caused him all these problems in his life. And I took him to your disciples and they could not cast it out. In the midst of this interaction, Jesus then looks to everybody and says, faithless generation, how long do I need to put up with you? Again, the issue is what? Faith, trust in the Lord. He asks the man how long the boy had been like this. And then his response, he says this, look in Mark chapter 9, verses 22 through 24. The man says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus, are you able to do it? If you're able, would you do something for us, please? If you're able. Look at Jesus' response. Again, the written word doesn't give us tone. I wish this would be one of those, because this is how I hear this verse when it says, and Jesus said to him, If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. But I want you to focus on what the Father says next. The Bible says immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. I know you can do it. But I'm struggling right now whether you will or not. I believe. Help my unbelief. See, we're not calling into question whether you truly believe in Jesus or are saved or not. We believe that Jesus is who He says He is. We are followers of Christ, but in our daily living, guess what? We need help with our unbelief. When the things we go through in life overwhelm us, we need to cry out just like the Father to God. God, we believe. Help our unbelief. And I pray that you would hear the response from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that He told His disciples when they were troubled. In John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. How do we rid ourselves of worry? How do we deal with this? How do we have worry-free living? Well, first of all, we need to trust in the Lord. But number two, we need to submit to the Lord. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road, I guess. We need to submit to the Lord. Not only are our worries brought on because of our lack of trust, worry really, truly is a submission issue. Submit. The idea that I will give authority, I will give control to someone else, that being God. Not only are our worries brought on by a lack of trust, our worries are brought on by a lack of submission. Remember Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understandings. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. It means all the time know God. Literally it means all the time know God. In other words, always have God at the forefront of your thoughts. And everything you're going through in life, always know God. Always have your relationship with God. Never put your relationship with God on hold. Always, through everything, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. This is what I want. This is what I think. But God, it's really about your will and what you want and what you think. So what you want done, may it be done. And I can tell you that is easier said than believed and held to and done. Submitting to the will of God. Because the very thing at times that I strongly don't want to happen is the very thing that God wills. So what would I rather take place? What I want or what the Lord wills? If we would just accept this reality, this truth, we are not in control of our lives. We're not. Now, there are things in our lives that are affected by choices we make. I understand that. But ultimately, we are not in control of our lives. The Bible makes it very clear in the book of Proverbs that a man plans his ways, but the Lord what? Directs his steps. This may or may not be my last day on earth. I have all kinds of plans in the future. I have all kinds of thinkings about this and at this point in my life and that point in my life. And the reality is, when I'm thinking about 5, 6, 17 years from now when I retire, it may be over today. That should not cause fear or worry or anxieties in our lives. Because as followers of Jesus Christ and as children of God, our most gracious Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, God the Almighty, is sovereign over all things. And nothing is out of His control. And praise Him that He is sovereign over all things. I love the way it is spelled out for us in Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Listen, here's the reality. Here's the truth of the matter. We would not be here if it were not for Him. I'm not only here in this place right now, not even in existence if it were not for God. We would not even exist if it were not for Him. But yet due to sin, starting with Adam and Eve and all the way down to us today, the pride of life often steps in and we seek to maintain control of all things and make this life about us. What we want, what we think, what we believe, what we desire. This led to the fall of Satan because he wanted to be like God. This led to the fall of man when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It looked good to make one wise like God. And just like Satan, he wanted to be like God. No, you humble yourself in submission. God, I am yours. In 1994, a young man and a young woman in college were at a global missions conference in Louisville, Kentucky. We didn't understand the full ramifications of that statement and commitment we made then, but the prayer Maribeth and I had was simply this: God, whatever you want us to do, wherever you want us to do it, whenever you want us to do it, we are yours. And God has taken us to different places at different times. We've had the privilege of impacting a lot of people's lives. We've had our share of struggles. We've had our share of frustrations. And it hasn't always been easy for Maribeth. Before she ever met me, said, "I will never go back to Louisiana. I will never marry a boy from the bayou. Moves from Thibodaux. I will never go back to Thibodaux, Louisiana." We served in our first church in Thibodaux, Louisiana. I'm still waiting for that call to Phoenix, Arizona, because she said, "I don't care what the Lord says. I'm not coming here. It's hot." But there was our commitment. When we knew we needed to leave Mississippi, I said, "I am done with rural. I want at least suburban with chain restaurants and chain stores." We do have a Dollar General and Subway here, don't we? But that should be all of our heart's prayer. God, whatever you want, whenever you want it, we're yours. This world and all that is in it, which includes you and I, it all belongs to God. And God is working all things out according to His will. And guess what? Not ours. We must submit to Him or we will go crazy trying to gain control over things we have no control, no authority, or no power over. So we're commanded in 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you." Listen, it is humbling to admit you're not in control and submit to the one that is. And this is why most people in this world rebel against God and His ways. They want control. And they want control over something they have absolutely no control over. I don't care how many plastic surgeries you have, you're going to get old and you're going to die one day as long as the Lord tarries. You can make yourself look young all you want to. You can't stop the clock that God started on day one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the first day, there was light and there was darkness. He started it. You and I cannot stop it. And this is why many people avoid the Word of God. They ignore what He has said. I mentioned the Israelites earlier and their downfall. We just studied this again this past Wednesday night, that the word of the Lord came, but they would not incline their ear or listen. It wasn't that long ago. Well, maybe it's been a few weeks. June 12th, a whole month ago. No, June 19th, a little less than a month ago, where we looked at the model prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. When you pray, pray then like this. And a part of that prayer is found in verse 10 where he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." May I remind you what that means? It doesn't mean that we're praying for God's will to be done. Let me tell you something. We cannot stop God from doing what he wants to do. It would be funny if it wasn't so serious the way people talk about, let's unleash God today. Let's quit putting God in a box. Who has the power to put a leash on God? Who was able to stuff him in a box? Because that person then would be God. No, what does this prayer mean? It's a prayer of submission and surrender for God's will. God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not what I want, not what anybody wants. God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then in our text this morning, Jesus said to look to the birds of the air. And they don't worry about what they're going to eat. God takes care of them. God is sovereign over the sparrows. God is sovereign over the birds. Then he said, hey, look to the flowers in the field. Look to the lilies. They don't toil. They don't do anything to look pretty like they do. God has done that. God is sovereign over the flowers and the field. And then he says, look to your own life. Which one of you can add another day, another 5 minutes, another second to your life? The psalmist declared it this way, in your book, speaking to God, in your book, they were written, the days formed for me before there was one of them. We need to receive this reality. And when you do, you will realize how good it truly is to know that God is sovereign even over our lives. Not just the good stuff that we enjoy, but even the bad stuff that brings pain into our lives. God works all things out for the good, for those that love him, who are called according to his purpose. We must submit to the Lord. Let me ask you, how might your life be different if you would just trust in the Lord always? How might your life be different if you would just submit to the Lord in all things? Brings me to point number 3. Our final point this morning, we must prioritize things of the Lord. We must prioritize the things of the Lord. Again, we come back to this issue of what we should value in this life. What is most important? Last time we looked at what Jesus said to positively lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Here in verse 33 in today's passage, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let me ask you, you want quietness in your life? You want peace in your life? You want calm in your inner man? Then seek first the kingdom of God. May that be your priority. May that be what you value above all things on this planet. Seek first the kingdom of God. First for salvation. Most people look to God, and unfortunately many times the church presents God as only somebody out there that can help you just get along through this life. He's like a genie in a bottle, and you just rub that lamp the right way in your prayer life, then God's going to grant you those 3 wishes. But whoever surrenders his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, submits to him, recognizes whoever confesses the Lord Jesus. It's not about accepting him as Savior, although that terminology is fine, but confess Jesus as Lord will be saved. This life is yours. I commit myself to you. I leave my life behind. That is true salvation when your life is no longer about you. Because when your life is about you, guess what? It brings worry and anxieties and stress and depression and discouragement, and it's just one big mess. It doesn't mean that things we don't like quit happening in our lives, but it means when I'm living this life, when those things happen, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm submitting to Him. Because what matters to me more than anything is not whether it's truly cancer or not, or whether I can use my arm fully or not again. The only thing that matters to me, I don't care how maimed I am, how broke down I am. I don't care how hungry I am, how poor I am. The only thing that matters to me is what God is accomplishing through His creation, manifesting His name to all as the God of grace, the God of goodness, the God of righteousness, but also the God of justice and the God of wrath, and He will make all things right. Seek first the kingdom of God for salvation, for our sanctification. This life, now that I've been saved, is not about just going to heaven. It's about being conformed to the image of His Son, being changed. The person I once was is becoming less and less, and the person I am now in Christ Jesus is becoming more and more, that every day I look more like Christ. His name, I bear His name. And as a result of that, means His character, His life. I look more. That's more important to me than anything in this world. Remember, when we started all this, what did Jesus declare to His disciples? Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, who obeyed His whole long list of laws, unless you do better, unless your righteousness is better than their righteousness, you're not going to make it. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It wasn't about the kind of righteousness. Well, it is about the kind of righteousness. It wasn't about the quantity. It was about the quality. Seek first the kingdom of God. I want my life to be what You want it to be, God. Change me. Work on me. Finish this work that You started as You have promised to do. We seek first the kingdom of God for our future hope, our coming glorification, when we will leave all this behind. Liberals, conservatives, progressives, whatever, all this will go away one day. Seek first His kingdom, the Bible says, and this other stuff, it will be taken care of that causes you so much worry. You will realize they were not all that important. That may be through actually receiving what you need. But it would for sure mean it will no longer consume our thoughts, bringing worry and despair. Prioritize the things of God. Matthew 22:37, the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. What matters most in this life is our relationship with God, not our 401ks. What matters most is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And I love what it says in Colossians 3:1-4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so then, whether you eat, whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, we worry because we are trying to hold on to that which is fleeting, to that which is passing away. We must focus on what will last. Seek first the kingdom of God. God is eternal. Therefore, His kingdom will never end. And we belong to Him. And where He is, we will be also. And our relationship with Him will never end. What in this world can take our attention away from the fact that we have been made right with God and we have fellowship with Him? Because those things we worry about is those things we are valuing, prioritizing over our relationship with Him. So prioritize the things of the Lord. Just in closing, look back at the things in your life that stress you out. Look at the things that cause you to worry. Look at the things that make you anxious. Now, I'm not saying the Bible says never to be concerned with anything. That's not what it's saying. These things that end up consuming us brings doubt, despair, thinking all is lost. Let me ask you, is the way we are viewing these things, is it not because there's some lack of trust in the Lord? Then like that father, may we cry out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Is it not because there's some desire to maintain control? Humble yourself before the Lord and pray as Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Is it not because we're holding on to this world? Seek first, make this your priority, the kingdom of God. And follow through with the command. After verse 6 of 1 Peter 5, in verse 7 it says this, casting our anxieties upon Him, for He cares for us. He cares for you. Father, I come before You right now and I thank You that You have given us the way to properly deal with the things we are faced with in this life. It is because we have a risen Lord and Savior. It is because You have saved us from the not only from hell and the consequences of sin, but You have reconciled us with You where we enjoy fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Because of Him being the propitiation for our sins, our mediator, we have access to You, God. And so, God, may You renew the joy of our salvation. May we truly understand what is ours in Christ Jesus. And may we live our lives joyfully, praising Your holy name, trusting You in all things, submitting to You in all things, and seeking You in all things. And we have the promise of not only of our spiritual life being right, but just maybe it will influence and impact our lives mentally and physically because we have made things right with You. So God, help us not to play the what-if games, but today realize that this is the day the Lord has made. You may not give us tomorrow, but this is the day You have made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is in the beige.